Welcome in, everybody. Happy Thursday to you. Week 11 of the National Football League season. The Jags bye week. Time for Jaguars today here live at Everbank. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran from the Florida Times Union, Fat Tony, and Lauren Brooks here with you today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Tony, I was telling you earlier in the week what a lovely time I had in jolly old England.
A bunch of glowing remarks and reviews.
Now, admittedly, if you're traveling with the team, right, you're getting pampered, basically, right? Your meals are provided for you. You don't have any commuting to do, anything like that. I was wondering if Ryan O'Halloran had had a similarly positive experience in old England. How are you, Rhino?
Was the Bledsoe audio clip, was that 99 playoff?
I'd have to hear it again. I'll be honest with you.
Let's say ballpark 99.
Okay.
15 years ago. That's what this trip felt like to me.
15 years?
Yes.
That play was taking place on Monday of last week for you.
This trip sucked.
Wow. And here he is. Ladies and gentlemen, if you thought a week in Europe would change the disposition of Ryan O'Halloran,
I'll preface it by saying extremely polite people. Met several of them.
Several? All right.
There is... It's a tough trip to make. It's a tough working trip. Cause I'm a creature of habit. I like my routine. And this gets,
was it the trip that was so bad, or was it that you were inconvenienced from your routine that made it a bad trip? I'm generally curious,
my trip was 11 days and 6 flights. So, you know, that just starts running together. And
when did you leave for Cincinnati? Saturday?
Saturday afternoon.
Okay.
Got back here Tuesday night at 10 o'clock.
Okay, you flew to Cincinnati, direct flight to Cincinnati?
No, Jacksonville, Atlanta, Atlanta, Cincinnati, Cincinnati, Detroit, Detroit to London, London, Atlanta, Atlanta, Jacksonville.
Atlanta to Jacksonville, okay. I gotcha.
All in first class, but that's beside the
point. Oh, all in first class now, he says. Wow.
Hey, I'm not going to bury the lead.
That's extreme. So it sucked despite the fact that you're traveling in first class.
Well, that part was fine.
I mean, so the plane rides were okay.
The plane rides were fine.
All right. Well, you threw it out there like 6 flights, like it was some burden.
It's still 20 hours.
I'm saying not a burden.
You hit on a good, the commuting part. It's first of all, there's no open locker room. That's a big difference. You're sort of, you know, we pretty much got everybody we wanted.
Yeah, you can just grab guys after practice.
A lot of time on the bus. And then I love the weather, personally. I thought it was great.
That really does figure. Gloomy, rainy, O'Halloran's kind of weather.
And then the first one, and the pop stunk. You couldn't find a decent Coke there.
What are you talking about? There was Coca-Cola everywhere you turned.
It's like it got expired in the U.S. and then they sent it to Europe. That's what it tasted like.
Wow. All right. So you thought, although you could find Coca-Cola, you did not think it was up to good old USA standards of Coca-Cola.
They do make it differently for different countries.
Do they?
They do.
Good here, bad there.
Yeah.
I thought it was fine.
I learned this when I toured the Coca-Cola factory in Atlanta.
Do they still make it with the cocaine over in the U.K.?
See, that would have benefited.
I don't know.
Kept them awake, maybe.
But and then Lauren will be good to know that the 4 food groups during the week were French fries,
Skittles.
No, French fries, bread, cheese, and chocolate.
French fries, bread, cheese.
Well,
and chocolate.
Where were the greens?
Have you seen some of that bread they're serving over there with their stale Coke?
It was the green M&Ms.
Wow. French fries, bread, cheese, and chocolate. All right.
Did you eat all that together at any point in time?
Dip
the French fries and the cheese, and then the chocolate, and then soak it up with bread.
Like a 10-minute separation there.
All right. So like, what was a typical day like for you covering the team then?
Let's go Thursday. There was a 9:30 bus ride from the hotel to the Grove, which was like an hour bus ride.
Right, but bus provided for you, right?
Yeah.
You didn't have to go hail a cab or anything.
No, that was last year. So did that. We're there a couple hours, probably an hour and a half bus ride back. and then you work for like 3 or 4 hours. By the time you get to like, you know, 7 o'clock, and it gets, here's the other thing, you have to admit this, it gets dark.
It's dark at 5 o'clock. I mean, it's dark at five
dark,
o'clock.
Dark. So yeah, like that. So that
it goes from, it goes from like dusk for 4:30, and by, and you have a half an hour where it goes from dusk to complete black.
So that just like, that sort of just gets you tired.
Does it?
So, and then, oh, by the way.
But you got all those Skittles keeping you going.
Kill, I mean, for, and the TV. I mean, if I see another episode of That 70s Show. I mean, this is the sitcoms they had on there at night. That 70s Show, The Big Bang Theory.
They did have that, yeah.
I watched a couple episodes of Magnum P.I.
Magnum P.I.
Which wasn't bad.
They're catching up.
And then, you know, there was, we didn't even have Sky Sports in our hotel, which at least would have given me some solace.
Well, you had a bad hotel. Maybe you should take some of that first class money and upgraded your hotel. You ever think of that? 20 hours in the plane, rest of the week in a hotel.
Oh.
What about the pubs? Did you make it to any pubs, Ryan?
That's what I'm saying. He sounds like he went to bed at 7 o'clock every night, watching Mad About You and whatever.
I would have preferred Mad About You compared to That 70s Show.
All right. Well, so that was, that's pretty much a resounding no. Did you make it out about at all?
We went to the Fulham match Wednesday night.
That's fun.
Yeah, it seems fun.
We left at halftime.
How come?
Why?
Because you had to get back to That 70s Show.
Just an old tired curmudgeon.
I was cold.
He was cold.
Right. And it was a good.
I thought you loved the weather.
It was a good business decision because where that I wouldn't even call it a stadium field.
Craven Cottage.
Yeah, I mean it was a solid 25-minute walk just to get to a main road to hail a cab. So I'm glad we did that instead of other people having to do it too. So we got out of there.
So you beat the cab hailing traffic.
10,000 people there that night, but
yeah, but it only seats like 15,000, right? It's a small.
I was like, we had 17 at the Saturday match.
17,
so I was
okay.
Like in the 20s, something like that. But all so right. We went there, and then on Sunday we had all day to kill, and so we went down to see like the Big Ben and the river and the Parliament and stuff like that.
Oh, you did a little sightseeing there.
Yeah, I figured I might as well do a little bit because the problem with it getting dark so early is like you couldn't, like, there's no point in going down there then.
I agree with that.
So, you can see it at night.
It's not the same. You know, you don't know where you're going. I agree with Ryan on this one. Like, I didn't go do any the sightseeing I did at night was pub sightseeing at night.
The inside of pubs.
Well, no, seriously. I mean, from where we stayed, it was going to be probably easy 90 minutes to that area of London.
I mean, where the Jags stayed, you know, you've heard the phrase out in the sticks.
They were
this
out in the sticks.
This is beyond the sticks.
They were, yes. You go to the sticks and you turn left and keep going several more miles.
By the cows.
Yeah. Well, there were some cows out there in the field and some sheep as well. Fortunato found them.
But anyway, enough about me whining.
No, I think that's it's fantastic.
Hopefully I'm entertaining the listeners.
Well, Duval Doom said it makes him happy that you had a bad trip. Good. He said. Yeah. Well,
par for the course for a guy who has doom in his name.
Well, there you go. See, he's happy with your misfortune. I often get happy with others' misfortune.
Since Tony's here, I'll give a comment on the Fulham Football Club.
Oh, please do.
They look like and maybe some of them are, it look like a high school team out there in terms of their build.
Mm-hmm.
The night we were there, they're playing Blackpool, which is the worst team in the league. So
yeah.
They fell behind 2-0, got a tie. But I mean, it's like a youth movement over there going on.
Yeah, they're falling. They're down there towards the bottom of the championship table.
Well, they're
getting
right hot now. They're getting hot now.
It is weird though. You're talking about Craven Cottage. That's where Team USA is playing Colombia tomorrow.
Which sucks. We missed them by a week.
Right, is in that little stadium. But Team USA men's soccer team is playing at Craven. They're at Fulham tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, I think that's on the. It's on TV.
It's ESPN too.
It's just a friendly, right?
Yeah, but I watch.
All right, that's fine. But
yeah.
I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything. It's just an exhibition game.
Yeah, but if you could have been there when it was going on, that would have been pretty cool.
It would have been all right.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have
been an option to go to.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. There you go. I'm not trying to rain on anybody's soccer parade. I just, you know, World Cup's in another 4 years, right?
I'll tell you the best
three
part
and
about
a half,
the,
yeah.
the,
there
the
you
best
go.
Part about the Fulham match is before the game, Jacksonville delegation walks out there, including the mayor. That just made us laugh. it's like he looked like he wanted to take a penalty kick.
Maybe he did. I was very impressed with the mayor, by the way, from the aspect of when we rode on the plane on the way back and the way over there.
Cockpit.
No cockpit seating. He certainly didn't sit in first class like some people did, Tony. He sat back there with the great unwashed masses, and everything was copacetic until we hit that customs line back in Jacksonville. And, wait a minute, how'd the mayor get all the way up there? Hey, they seem to have skipped several thousand people in line, but I'm sure he had very pressing business
right.
to attend to.
When you guys, probably boring people to death here, but how long until you guys landed Monday morning did you get in your car?
Hour, maybe. It wasn't bad at all, honestly. We went through quick customs line, and you picked up your bags right on the tarmac. They put you on a bus. They drove to your car. Really, hour tops, I would think. I think they had blocked off like a couple of hours, said, you know, on the itinerary it was going to take a couple of hours. So what about you? I mean, you just had to go regular. You had to go through customs, right?
Yeah, well, in Atlanta, because of the connection, you land, you go through customs, you claim your bag, you recheck it, you go through TSA, you get on the train back to the main terminal. So from the time I landed to the time I got to the Delta Club was like 58 minutes.
Yeah, something like that. It's about the same. That's what it takes. International travel, Ryan O'Halloran. Good to know you had such a nice time over in the UK. We'll talk about what kind of time the Jags had in the UK. 10 games in as well. We're doing a mini throwback Thursday today, just for the season, kind of a throwback Thursday. Other than just simply winning a football game, you all know which one that was. It's the only one to choose from. What was the best moment for you as a Jaguar fan in the first half of the season? Already some interesting submissions on that. That's the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight. You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at Ryan O'Halloran, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren. And, of course, you can call the program at 641-1010. If you want to look back on the first 10 weeks of the Jaguar season, which we're going to do, and what Ryan thinks they might be able to accomplish over the last six games remaining on the 2014 schedule. We'll do it next on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Bad Religion, Honest Goodbye. This has to be O'Halloran saying good riddance to the UK. Is that it?
It's not, but that's a good guess.
Bad, does it have to do a bad trip?
Nope. I did not center this around O'Halloran, shockingly.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Sorry, Ryan.
That's fine. I have my own point.
What's the name of the song?
Bad Religion, Honest Goodbye. I was 2 for 2 coming out of the.
I know. I should have just given it to you.
No, you shouldn't have given it to me. No.
Pat you on the head.
Now people will think we're doing trivia on the drill or something like that. These guys get handed the answers every week. That's right. I've listened. You were saying
Honest Goodbye. So it has to do with the departure.
Of Dakota Watson.
That's my guess.
No.
He's stuck here, so he's goodbye.
That is not true, but I did feel bad for Dakota, who proposed in London and then was let go a few days later.
Well, he signed with the Cowboys today, so.
Right, so yeah, now it's better, but at first I felt bad. Because that was a big old rock.
Six games in the standings.
What a colossal zero.
He's just firing away. Well, you're right, he didn't give him anything.
He was terrible.
He was.
Yeah, he came here hurt. He had more groin surgeries, too, than big plays, zero. And when they did give him a chance, he proved that he couldn't play. So I applaud the Jags for cutting him loose now.
Right, I don't knock the guy for the injuries. I mean,
I knocked the team for, like, I mean, he obviously came here with a problem. Because he had
surgery. Sure, he had surgery, shortly after. That's on them. You're right, and he was, and he didn't play well. But
totally on the Jags.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Bad signing. And, you know, it's when we say bad signing, it's not like, a signing that, ooh, it's going to compromise you in the future. But it's a guy you thought coming in, you identified who could be a starter for your football team, and you wanted to be a starter for your football team.
Identified ad nauseum publicly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and I get the point where you say, well, he's only like X amount of dollars. So, well, that's a part of the argument, but let's contain, you know, you can contain the argument and say, okay, they're counting on him to play, and he did. So that's where you classify it as a bust.
Is this team, compared to where they were when Blake Bortles first came in. Different team, obviously, with him at the helm. So since Blake Bortles started that second half against Indianapolis to now, where has his team improved? And where has it maybe taken a step back, if anywhere?
On offense?
Anywhere. On the that's the only reason I wanted to distinguish from the time he took over. Yeah.
Well, I think they're a start on offense. I mean, obviously they're running it better, but they're not stretching the field at all. They really weren't the first 2 weeks. You can obviously they missed Lewis, so there's not a lot of there's no threats really down the middle of the field. You haven't really gotten anything out of Gerhardt, partly because of injury. Allen Robinson was the pleasant surprise of the first 10 games. Now he's out. Marquise Lee's been a disappointment partly because of injury. Hearns has been stunning to me that he's kept it up. I thought he would tail off a little bit when teams.
He kind of did for a little while, but he came back.
Yeah, and that's the surprising part is that he found a second win,
absolutely,
so to speak.
Yeah.
On the offensive line, it would have been tough to be as colossally bad as they were in week 1, 2, and 3, but you still see some issues there. On defense, my problem is you don't see young guys getting any better. If anything, they're regressing, including the strong safety and with Cyprian.
Yeah, Cyprian had a bad game this week for sure.
I think that is that's a big time concern.
You include Demetrius McCray in that?
No, I think he's played well. I think Grotz is just so up and down at this point. Linebackers. It's like it's the red. Throw up the white flag. They have different guys out there each week, and then up front, their run defense has tailed off a little bit. It is a team that has gotten worse over the last couple weeks than better.
Over the last couple weeks, I would agree with that. They played a stretch where they, for about a month, they seemed like they were improving, particularly the defensive side of the football.
Yeah, and so in the Cincinnati game, they were saying last week, well, we didn't finish the game. Well, you really weren't in a position to finish the game because you never had a lead.
No, they weren't, but they could have finished it with 8.5 minutes to go. And you kick it out of bounds. If you start the drive at 20, the defense is facing them having to go 80 yards to score a touchdown there. You've got a great opportunity. You've got a lot of momentum. There are a lot of stunned people in that stadium, I'm sure, on the Cincinnati sideline at that point. There was a chance to win that football game was there. I understand what you're saying. You didn't have the lead. You couldn't just put it away at that point. But they got to a point where I thought they had Cincinnati on the ropes, and then they let them just write off.
Yeah, up until those two touchdowns, I thought they were playing. It was a terrible game. And then in London, can you have a more misleading 31-17 game?
No, they weren't even close.
It was 31-17. Yeah.
They weren't close in the second half.
So that's what should be alarming to this team, is that they have to get down 26-10 or 31-9 before they score a touchdown.
Tony's point's been, and I think it's a fair one, is that in a lot of these games last year, though, if they had gotten down like that to Cincinnati, for instance, that game never would have been close again. Never would have at least brought it within doubt in the fourth quarter. And I think that's true for the most part. The point I was making yesterday is I do think they've improved. They've scored more points, they've allowed fewer points, but the gulf of where they had to come from was so large. They're still at the bottom of the National Football League.
Yeah, and
I mean, at this rate, they can improve this much each year. It's going to be several years before they're even a playoff contender.
They're going to be on year 9 of their 3-year plan.
Unless there's some exponential growth that kicks in because these guys, and which is possible because you have so many first and second year players that could have the light go on for them over the next, but you're counting on that now.
It's a lot of counting.
There's a lot of counting on that over the next, 8 months or so, 9 months.
I mean, a year from now, we're sitting here, what's their record? That's when you say, okay, where is this going?
Right.
I think you even say it a little bit earlier next year. But, those first and second year players, are they making plays? I mean, some of them are, some of them aren't. So, if you're counting on 20 first and second year guys and 12 pan out, well, then you're in trouble. So
if you're counting on 20 of them to be starters, but if you're hoping to find, I mean, realistically, you shouldn't expect every player you draft in a draft to eventually end up as a starter. And I think if you look at the full balance of what they've done over the last 2 years, problem is some of them are starters, but by default, I don't think Luke Jokel has been very good. He hasn't played like the number two pick in the draft.
No. I mean, and I'm probably not as hard on him as other people. I've sort of pointed my arrows on the defense here the last couple of weeks, but I mean, people get on me for getting on Cyprian. The only play I remember him making this year is when he got hurt, week one, where he broke up the pass.
Right.
If you're gonna miss some tackles, that's gonna happen in the secondary. You gotta hit some home runs.
Right.
Gotta get some takeaways, and that's not happening. I mean, I think Josh Evans has been okay.
He's been all right.
You know. But they need Cyprian to work out. They need Grotz to play better. They have to be so pleasantly surprised by McCray. I mean, Dallas basically shifted Dez Bryant away from him.
Right.
What's that say?
Yeah. Well, I think, that was McCray had just made a play on him at the goal line, you know, one-on-one coverage, which you don't see very often, get done. I think we talked to Dave Caldwell about this last week. I think they've done better on the back ends of their drafts. Which kind of balances out the overall grade. But when you look at the guys like Denard Robinson and McCray, Evans has been solid. I mean, considering where they drafted.
Considering where they drafted.
Right.
The 25 starts.
Polanco, for what he's played pretty well as a sixth round pick that nobody thought would be starting right now. I don't think the team thought he'd be starting, right now either. So, I think they've hit some home runs later in the draft or some extra base hits at least. But not so many at the top. Now, Blake Bortles may turn out to be that guy, but if you just based his play, comparing him to the rest of the league and the rest of the rookie class, the end result, we believe, the eyeball test tells us, he has the tools to be a good one. But the actual performance, he's made plays, but he also turned it over a ton of times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the last couple of games, he's at least avoided the killer.
No, he has.
Yeah.
So. Now, well, you could argue the one against Cincinnati late.
It was a 2-score game, but it erased any chance for a miracle comeback.
Right. You still can't throw that ball.
It was a bad,
interception.
My thing is that you can't tackle. You can't hold on to the ball. You're going to lose. Substantially. So that's, the Dallas game was pretty pathetic. Across the board, these guys across the hall need to take these couple days, and what do they do to change it up, because the schedule doesn't get any easier.
Right. I don't know if there is anything to do. I mean, you lose Allen Robinson, Marquise Lee is going to have to take on a more prominent role.
Is he ready for that?
I don't know if he is. I mean, I think if he was, he'd already have taken on a more prominent role. You know, and Gus has talked about it. He had good 3 weeks of practice. Particularly the week in London, he thought might have been his best week of practice. Well, it didn't translate to anything on the field on Sunday.
I'd put him back at punt return and just see if that'll get him.
Well, and I think a lot of people would do that too, and I think we might have seen that happen had Allen Robinson not get hurt, but they feel like it's going to be too much to ask a Marquise Lee to put him back there. I don't know what's – look, I've never – try to catch punt, never mind return one in the NFL, but I don't know what's so...
What's taxing about it other than you might get
mentally
your head...
Mentally taxing
yes,
about
yes.
it.
Yes, yes. I mean, if you guys come out and say, hey, we're worried he may get his head taken off, fine. I believe you.
Right.
You know, it's... Yeah, so that's
But you're talking about 4 or 5 plays a game, really, here.
And it's not like you're going to get winded.
Your guy Ace, he had Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns not gotten hurt in this game, and now you need some of that wide receiver depth, what has he done to help his football team this year? He's had the occasional decent return.
Yeah, extremely occasional.
Occasional,
a couple points on my guy is, if Hurns and Robinson were healthy coming out of the bye, I think they wouldn't have cut him. He may be a healthy scratch for
healthy
a couple weeks.
Right.
Put Marquise or
Mike Brown
back
right.
there. Just say, hey, just
catch
us
ball.
The ball
yeah.
and get us a first down.
That's what Tony
down,
said yesterday.
You know? And so, you know, now this is an opportunity for Ace to maybe do a little something at receiver. But when he fumbled the ball, and then as soon as he caught that second one, I'm thinking, how can they move forward this guy? Because before they could at least say, well, he held on to it. He made some decent decisions, you know, fair catching and stuff. Well, even that betrayed him in London. You know, so that 23-yarder could have saved his job.
Right. And but he fielded it at the two. You know, you should never do what he did in that instance with, because it wasn't like they had outkicked the coverage and he had 20 yards of free space to run with from the 2 yard line.
He probably ran 80 yards to get 23.
Right. I mean, it's a good return. It was almost out of desperation.
It was. They need that type of return out of him when he's catching it at the 22.
Right.
So, I mean, as the ball was in the air and I saw him going back there and I typed it up, I said, for his next trick, catches it at the 3 yard line. Dot dot dot. Well, he has a 23 yard return. So he's an issue. I mean, at these last 6 games, I try everybody back there. Anybody who wants to return a punt, go get them.
Well, I don't think they're going to go to that extreme. And obviously, look, they try to upgrade the position with Tannen Doss. I mean, that's why you bring in the guy who led the AFC in punt returns last year.
Yeah.
You know, so. Not going to happen in the next week, it doesn't appear.
A lot of problems on this football team.
Yeah, we'll get to some specific ones. We'll take a look at Blake Bortles' play coming up here and what the Jags can do in the final 6 games. Indy, next up on the docket as a month away from Everbank, continues for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony, you want to get on board? 641-1010 is the number. You can tweet the show at MD_1010XL, at Ryan O'Halloran, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Warren. Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. So dumb of me. I now feel dumb. Really dumb.
I totally thought y'all were going to get this
really
one right out
dumb.
The gate.
Buy My Love, Buy the Cars. It's the bye week. Duh.
Duh.
Duh. Thinking way too complicated there for the theme today. Duh.
That's good. That means I've shown that I have a complicated side.
Sure. Yes, you're complex. And,
yes.
Like
fine wine.
And what would the other word? Mysterious. You're mysterious.
Absolutely.
Those are good words to be described as. Absolutely. Don't you think? I think so. Right? Don't we all want some mystery in the people in our lives to some degree? Right? Ryan O'Halloran, there's no mystery. He doesn't like anything, ladies and gentlemen. He's here to report accurately and dutifully on Jaguars Today every week. Although we did miss you. Last week. I don't think Duval 2 missed you, but I did. I missed your camaraderie to steal half of Hacker's line. I did not miss your fellowship, however, out there. You were saying before the show today, you think at least the possibility of a different schedule for the team next year when they go, it'll be week 7 against Buffalo, that they will play, which by the way, I mean, if you're just from a kind of a fan perspective, wouldn't you agree that's if you had to give one up, that was about the one you would vote to give up.
Yeah, I mean them or Miami, which that was removed on Miami.
Right, and I would think Miami played, but I would think that there's enough of an, you know, you could gin up an in-state rivalry if you wanted to. You know what I mean? You'd rather see the Dolphins because you'd rather see the Dolphin fans lose in your house, kind of thing. If you're able to beat them, so.
Yeah. Well, and I agree with that. Is for their travel schedule, I mean, there's basically 3 ways to do it. They've tried 2 of them, which was last year they played at home, left on a Monday, arrived on a Tuesday. This year they had to play on the road, left right after the game.
They wanted to play on the road, though, this year.
They couldn't play at home.
Well, they could have if the NFL had scheduled it for a different week. I mean, when the schedule's made, the way the schedule fell because of Florida, Georgia, they couldn't play at home.
Well, okay, well, when the league told them when you're playing over there, that's why they had to play on the road.
Okay, but didn't they? All right, did they not want to?
They would have preferred. They always prefer to play at home.
Play at home and then go straight from Jacksonville because it's an easier trip.
So that next year thank God there's stadiums available. They can play at home, and. I think they're gonna look at leaving Thursday, arriving Friday morning. I mean, that's the next thing you could do. And if I'm them, I'd do it. Just to
arrive Friday morning, have a walkthrough, kind of, you know, stretch on Friday, kind of go through a walkthrough on Saturday.
Play the game Sunday, come home.
See if that does you any better.
Yeah, might as well try something.
Make it more of a conventional type road trip.
And
do you believe if they ever go to a more expanded schedule, we've seen a few teams do it that way, the Thursday later in the week kind of thing. Do you think that'll become more the norm, more commonplace, or will teams mix it up and play it by ear?
Like, it depends entirely on where you're located. A West Coast team, do they feel the extra couple hours in the plane?
8 hour time difference, right?
Yeah. Well, do they, a lot, the West
Longer
Coast
flight.
Teams have done East Coast game London.
Right.
They feel that works for them. New England, Miami, Pittsburgh have all done the later in the week thing. So, if you have a more veteran team like New England did, then maybe that benefits them like Pittsburgh did last year. So it all depends. I was told that if they, whatever they do, Schott has told them, do whatever you think is best.
Right.
And so
it's not about the expense of spending an extra 3 or 4 days or anything.
Some public appearances and stuff. I mean, he says, hey, you're there ultimately to win the game.
Sure.
So do what you got to do.
But they're going to do, I mean, most of the player stuff in terms of public appearances comes on Tuesday.
Yeah, so that would be out.
Right. Well, if they were to do one on Thursday, but they do that kind of stuff home or away. There's a lot of the stuff that goes on. Mm-hmm. Maybe not quite as organized as it was when they were over there, as far as that whole thing went. What do you think about, the whole movement to, if you want to call it that, the idea of ultimately locating a franchise there? Where does the London experiment end up 10 years from now?
I would be surprised if they have a team over there full time, because I don't know how you can be competitive going back.
I don't either. I've only done it once, and I agree with you. I can't see it.
And then you add that layer to the enormous cost of setting up a franchise, cost of living. Where do players live? What are the tax rates? If I'm a free agent, I would have, even if you pay me 180 cents on the dollar, that means I break even by going over there. So,
right, but there may be guys that's more attractive to, and then certainly guys that it would be less attractive to.
And then also the and people scoff at this, the in-season stuff is, say you have 4 injuries in a game.
And you got to sign guys.
You got to work out guys. Do you fly 11 guys over there? Because
teams,
the Jags have had Tuesdays here where they've worked out 6-7 guys and signed 2. So are you going to, the Kyrie Fort thing from Cincinnati to Boston, that cost the Jags over $10,000, which, they paid it, but do you want to do that times
every
7
week.
Every week?
Right.
So,
yeah, that's a good question.
I don't think it would ever work over there.
I don't either. And I know, we could work out the logistics. You'd get used to it. I just don't see it. I mean, the most reasonable thing I've heard suggested is 2 home games, 2 road games, and you got to alternate the whole season. That way you wouldn't be flying there, back there. That would make no sense. And rarely are you on the road or at home for 3 consecutive games. So if you did 2-2-2-2, every 2 weeks, think about everything that went into just flying to Cincinnati on a Saturday. Now extend that out. I suppose if you're doing the same thing, you could make the trip on a Thursday to your initial game, if it's an East Coast game. Mm-hmm. So there are different ways to do it, but making this trip that the Jags made, 4 times a year, basically, each way, way too much, I think.
Yeah. And
to remain competitive.
Ultimately, I think it'd be, for Wembley, do they try 4 games 1 year in terms of 8 different teams?
Right.
At some point the market will tell them we have enough. Right now they're not at that point.
And they may not get to that point even with 8 games there. Because, there are plenty of places in the United States of America that if you had an 85,000 seat stadium, and I guess that's about what the capacity is when they tarp the lower section, because it's laid out for soccer. Mm-hmm. So the seats are lower slung seats. And if you played with a football team standing on the sideline and you were in the lower area of the bowl, you wouldn't be able to see very well. So they tarp that out for that reason. So tarps! I know. Stop it. About 85,000 people.
I mean, it is. It was an impressive sight, though.
No, the stadium's extremely impressive. A complete circular bowl. You know, it's not broken up like you have in some places. It's just one little bowl, and it was very impressive. And I don't doubt that at least initially you could sell out 85,000 tickets for an 8-game schedule.
It'd be a novelty, yeah.
But if you went to, for instance, if you went to Green Bay, Wisconsin, right? Or I don't know what their capacity is in Lambeau. Probably in the 60s, right? Yeah. Someplace like that. Dallas, right? What is their capacity? It's pretty high.
90s.
Right. So you could do it. There are teams, there are franchises that could do it if you're having success. Obviously, you got to win to be able to do that.
Right, and that's where the storyline really changes in London if you're talking about, here's your franchise. Well, are they going to show up in London and come watch a bad team
right
for 2 weeks in a row and do that, you know, twice a month, basically, and have a fan base that is willing to come watch a product when it gets to those lower tiers, which is going to happen in the NFL. You have fluctuation, and especially with all the moving details. I mean, is that a team that has to have a facility where when they're coming over for those 2 weeks to the United States, they have to do all that practice facility, all that stuff that they're going to be doing here in the States, too? The idea of having to do it in two different places, I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, if they put me in charge of this and they say, you got an expansion team and they're going to be in London, I'd laugh. Then I'd say, okay, that's my job. I got to make it work. Is I would have off-season headquarters in Northern Virginia where there's international flights to, what I may even consider is having my headquarters on the East Coast full time and just flying over for the home games.
So not even practicing during the week.
Fly on Thursday.
Yeah.
Fly on Thursday and then stay, obviously, yeah, if you're playing back-to-backers.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a tough sell. Because then you're asking 85,000 people to show up for a bunch of mercenaries, right? I mean, in some ways you'd be mercenaries anyway. You're not natives of that country. Not many British people in the NFL, but that would be truly a mercenary type situation. To me, it's like a little Super Bowl. Having not experienced it last year, that's what it was like. Yeah, or maybe the Pro Bowl would be a better description of it because you've got all these different jerseys showing up. And I thought they did a pretty good job actually being the home crowd for the Jags, you know, booing the Cowboys, and, you know, trying to get behind them when the big plays were made. But it was just more like a celebration of football than we're here to see Jacksonville play Dallas.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're exactly right. It was more of the football game other than, you know, instead of Jaguars versus Cowboys. I mean, it was just, I mean, the only way to compare it to it, Tony, weigh on this, is let's say they had Tottenham versus Stoke City at Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. I have no interest in rooting for those teams, but I'd go.
I'm going because I'm a fan of that game.
So I think that's right. What it says over there.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I think that's kind of what's going on with NFL football in London right now is you have a bunch of people that follow the NFL from overseas the way that we have a bunch of people over here that follow Premier League and international soccer, but don't necessarily have a league that is at the level that you're talking about overseas. So when they come over here, those Premier Leagues fill up stadiums all over this country. Every year when they come in to play those friendlies, there are people who want to see that. That doesn't mean that a Premier League team works in the United States.
Full-time, fully based, right? And everyone's talking about, you know, London's so centrally located, it's easy to get to from all these different areas. And I did meet a lot of people from a lot of areas of Europe that had come in to see the game, but you're asking them to do that 8 times. Jacksonville is accessible from a lot of areas, too. That doesn't mean that, you know, if there wasn't anything much closer, you're going to be drawing fans from 5 states over, because that's what you're asking people to do. You're going to fly from Germany into London 8 times a year to do this, or come in from Ireland or all these other places, and it is accessible. I mean, but it just seems like, wow, I don't know what the standard of living is over there, but that seems like asking an awful lot if that's going to be part of your hardcore constituency that you're counting on to fill that place up on a weekly basis. 641-1010. Let's get a couple of calls here. Ryan O'Halloran from the Florida Times Union here with us on Jaguars today. We'll start with Pat this morning. Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Good morning. I got a candidate for kickoff returns that you guys didn't mention.
Gene Fournette.
No. Todman. He's a good punt return man, and he averages
You got it backwards. He's a candidate, you think, for punt return because you think he's a decent kickoff return guy, right?
Right.
Right.
He's averaging like 15 to 20 yards every time he gets the ball. He doesn't fumble. Why not try him on the other type of return?
I think it should be an option because, I mean, he shows he can hang on to it. I mean, different kind of shiftiness, but I mean, at this point, I would entertain a lot of guys.
Right. If the primary thing, right, if you hang on to the football and you're going forward as soon as you catch it, yeah, you're probably a candidate right now. And I don't know if Todman would be very good at punt returns. Typically, punt return and kickoff return seem similar, but there's a different skill set. Punt return is more about quickness and making initial guys miss. Kickoff return is more about speed and power and hitting the hole decisively and just going straight forward. And yeah, there's some making guys miss in there, but that's typically why you see running backs doing punt return or kickoff returns more because they're built sturdier. They're going to take bigger shots. Punt returners are more often those smaller wide receiver types or defensive backs, shiftier guys. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily apples to apples. But yeah, I mean, at this point, I don't think it's not like you would be taking an opportunity away from somebody who is blowing you away at the position right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I'd be all right with Todman getting a shot. Then I'm with you. I'd be all right with Marquise Lee getting a shot, despite the fact that he's going to have to play more. What's the latest? What are you hearing on Allen Hurns?
Well, I wasn't here on Tuesday when Gus talked. Read his comments. I guess they're keeping him here this week for observation. I think we'll get a clearer idea on Monday. I mean, probably wouldn't have been able to play this week.
Right, but two weeks got a chance.
Yeah, I mean, if he's out there Monday, then that's obviously a good sign. But they still have some time after that.
So coming back, let's assume Hurns is good to go for Indianapolis, right? You got Shorts and Hurns, right. Got to be your starters in two wide receiver formations. Marquise Lee would be the third. Mike Brown active now on game days, a lot more likely, right?
Yeah.
Will they continue to run a lot of one tight end and just have it be Mercedes Lewis, or will they get Clay Harbor involved more and run some two tight end, two wide?
I think now, because of those injuries, I think even before they're thinking about running two and two, I think now your options almost force that because of your receiver injuries. I'd like to see Lewis and Harbor out there together just to see if they can free each other up a little bit. You know, if they need to keep one as a pass protector, let the other one run a route. So, I think we'll see, if anything about Jed, he knows he mixes up his personnel a lot, but I think you're going to see a lot of two tight end.
All right. He is Ryan O'Howard. I'm Mike Dempsey along with Fat Tony. We've got this date in football history coming your way in the Honda Drive around the NFL. Phone lines open to you at 641-1010. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by Dr. McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry on this date, November 13th, 2005. Bears cornerback Nathan Basher returned a missed field goal, 108 yards for a TD, the longest play in NFL history. Didn't Antonio Cromartie bring back a missed field goal, 109 yards?
I think so, yeah.
I wanted to say he did, and so I will. I'm going to say he did.
It was kind of
right
that
or not.
Over-the-shoulder catch or whatever at the back of the end zone, so I don't know what they officially
called it. Right, he like tiptoed up to the line. It was like 109 and a half yards, and he returned it all the way. You're right. Maybe they ruled it as 108, but that occurred on November 13, 2005. Also, happy birthday. It was mid-November back in 63. Vinny Testaverde was born on this
day. Oh, the colorblind kid. What's up, Vinny?
He is the colorblind kid. You know the story about the colorblindness with Vinny? You know, when he was in Tampa, he admitted he was colorblind. And he said he never had a problem on the field because he could distinguish between light and dark. And, you know, uniforms would be offsetting. Somebody being white, somebody being dark. But the legend was, and I don't know if this is true, but I told it as it is for years, so I'll tell it once again, that somebody put a billboard up like, you know, with like red and green is typically one that colorblind people have a tough or problem distinguishing between.
Yeah, it's the test, really.
Right, red and green. There's another combination of colors as well. Those are the two primary color blindness. You can't distinguish between those. and it was like a red background with green letters, and it just said, Vinny can't read this, and they put it up in Tampa. I don't know if it's true or not. I got a mini pop quiz. You guys ready for the pop quiz?
I suppose.
Vinny Testaverde played for 7 NFL franchises during a long career, 21 years in the NFL. Name all 7. What do you got?
Bucks.
There you go. It's an easy one. Played for the Bucks for the first 6 years of his career.
Browns.
The Cleveland Browns next with 3.
Ravens
next with 2. He's going to get them in chronological order here.
Jets
were next.
Cowboys.
Cowboys for a year.
Patriots.
He went back to the Jets actually for a year, but you already covered them. That would have been awesome if he had gotten that. Patriots, and then finished with.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealer.
What just happened? What just happened, Lauren? We're in the middle of a pop quiz here.
You paused.
I said and I was giving him a chance to give me the final answer.
Carolina?
I thought they were done.
Carolina!
Is that right?
You're in the middle of the most epic pop quiz sweep of all time.
I wasn't even participating. He was on such a roll.
A one-man pop quiz sweep right there in chronological order. Had you gotten back with the Jets for a year?
He had a second tour with the Jets.
He did have a second 1 year tour with the Jets. He started 15 games at the age of 41 for Dallas.
04.
This guy is killing Vinny Testaverde trivia today. I remember, I think it was Parcells who said if you watched Vinny just throw, like, he's clearly the best. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. If guys were to stand there and play catch, he still had the arm. He was never very mobile to begin with. I guess he was a little bit early on. He could move a little bit, but.
I'll give away a secret to my, answer there is I did just get done reading Parcells' book. And obviously there's some Vinny in there.
You took it to task though.
Because he had Belichick, he was a Belichick in Cleveland and Jets, and then he had in Dallas, and I sort of knew those other teams.
12-1 as a Jets starter in 98. Took him to the AFC Championship game.
Tore his Achilles the next year.
Did tear his Achilles the next year, which for everyone who had drafted Vinny Testaverde, we all went out and picked up that Kurt Warner fellow.
Yeah.
Oh, hell, he threw for 300 week one. I'll give him a shot. And so Vinny won a lot of fantasy leagues in 1999. If you drafted Vinny, good chance you ended up with Kurt Warner as your quarterback that year. This date in football history brought to you by Dr. McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, located on Gate Parkway, featuring the custom-fitted stop-snoring mouth guard. You and your loved ones are really going to thank you, but if you or your loved ones are in the market for a family dentist or you need some cosmetic work done, call 620-9225 or visit jamesjmccall.com for a complete list of comprehensive care services. Once again, here's the Honda Drive Around the NFL.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
I was curious if you were just going to pause and not even announce it, just
see
what
good.
Happened.
That would have been smart.
The Dallas Cowboys have welcomed back nose tackle Josh Brent to the active roster this week. For those who may have forgotten, Brent was convicted of intoxication manslaughter in December of 2012. After he was driving a car that crashed while his blood alcohol level was twice the legal limit, his teammate Jerry Brown was killed in that crash. Brent spent 5 months in jail, was brought back to the Cowboys at the beginning of this season. The NFL suspended Brent for 10 games, a suspension that ended after the Dallas game in London against the Jags. Brent, who is trying to get back into football shape, will be eligible to be on the field again after the Cowboys bye this week, said that he thinks about Jerry Brown every day and that he will be dedicating the rest of his career to the memory of his fallen teammate. New York Giants and former Jacksonville Jaguars running back Rashad Jennings is expected back in the lineup this weekend for the G-Men against the 49ers. Jennings has missed the last 4 games for the Giants because of a sprained knee, forcing New York to rely more heavily on rookie Andre Williams. Prize free agent signing Jeff Schwartz could also be making his Giants debut this weekend. Schwartz was injured during training camp and is yet to play in a game for the G-Men. He could help shore up a struggling offensive line. And Pro Football Talk pointed out today that Monday Night Football this week will be a record setter. On Monday, Pittsburgh plays Tennessee, certainly not the most interesting matchup of the week, but it will feature the longest combined last names between the two starting quarterbacks in NFL history.
Oh, the burger battle!
With Ben Roethlisberger for the Steelers and obviously Zach Mettenberger for the Titans.
Fantastic.
Breaks a record set earlier this year when Ben Roethlisberger played Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I told you, I met the Jets fan on the train last week.
Yeah.
Who had never heard of Jameis Winston. And, he said, I don't know if I told you the story, he said he originally decided he was going to be a fan of, he's going to watch the next game he watched, whatever team lost, he'd become a fan of. And Tennessee played Pittsburgh, as they're doing on Monday Night Football.
Mm-hmm.
And Pittsburgh lost the game and then went on to win the Super Bowl. And he said, well, everyone's going to call BS on me if I, you know, try to explain how I came about to be a fan of the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're going to think I'm a front runner. So he jumped on the Jets. You call it a bandwagon? I don't know. He jumped on the Jets' clown car. And
that story ended sadly.
Right. Very nice. Multi-talented Ryan O'Halloran right there. By the way, a couple
of... The Fates tried to hand it to you, driver. They tried to hand you the Steelers on her silver platter, and you said...
Here it goes. Right.
No,
the Fates did hand it to you.
Jets fan. No!
I will spit in the face of fate. But you
what
see,
have you done?
It was a big payoff this weekend. See? He'd be hurting right now because the Jets put the beating on the Pittsburgh Steelers this weekend. My two favorite Europeans that are not related to me by blood, at least I don't think they are. Maybe they are somewhere back in the day. Aren't we all? Irish Jaguar Stevie and Christoph.
Mm-hmm.
Irish Jaguar, we were talking about the possibility of a franchise. He said there will never be, in his opinion, a European franchise. These are a couple of Jaguar fans, obviously based in Europe, and Christoph favorited that tweet, so I assume he concurs with that opinion.
Mm-hmm. And they probably do speak for the majority. Just talking with some English media last week, they don't think it's a possibility.
That's interesting because it gets spun, and that just shows you the powerful PR that the NFL employs, but they spin it like it's this growing movement that they're hungry for a franchise. And I guess the prime minister got in on it. And look, economically, it would probably be a big boon. But, you know, from the fans, the ones who are going to have to support it, you know, I think they kind of like the setup that mm-hmm. they have right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so diverse, the rooting interests of all the teams. Brian Sexton said he sat at his hotel room window on Sunday morning as people were filing into Wembley, which is right across the street from where we're staying. And he said within the span of about 40 to 45 minutes, he saw every single NFL team represented by someone wearing their jersey. So it's kind of how it is, I guess, right now. 641-1010 if you'd like to get on board. Blake Bortles after, what, 7.5? Games at this point in the season, right? 2.5 for Henny.
Yeah.
Blake Bortles got the last 7.5. Going into the bye, is he, you know, based on what you thought when he took over, where he might be at this point? Has he progressed as you hoped he would, as you thought he would? Better, worse, what?
He's leveled off. You know, trying to formulate an answer here on Bortles. He's probably about where I thought he'd be. Maybe a couple more interceptions. You know, the games have dictated, you know, the numbers and stuff. You know, the 300-yard game against Tennessee. I mean, the Cleveland game, he was fortunate they won with his, you know, despite his interceptions. So I expected some more lows than highs at this point, but, I think in the long run, this was obviously the best move.
To play him. But when you look at him now, you know, if you just look, put the numbers aside, from what you've seen, mm-hmm. are you convinced or how do you feel about him as the main building block of this team at this moment?
If I'm a Jaguar fan, I would feel good about it looking at the other quarterbacks in this class, looking at the quarterbacks potentially in the 2015 draft. I think that was the right decision. I think once he settles down a little, I think he was pressing a little bit against Dallas. I think that's how you saw a couple one-hoppers, one of which may have been tipped. But I think once he settles, I think he needs a win in which he plays well so he can sort of move on, get a little of a B12 shot for the rest of his season. And I think where he's going to benefit is just getting through the rest of the season and then sort of taking a step back. I think I'm looking forward to seeing him play these last six games.
How much not having Allen Robinson will that impact his?
It's huge because I mean Allen did a lot of great work on third down. He had a good nose for where the sticks were. I mean he really had a lot of nice stuff on third and five and would catch a 5.5 yard pass. So good awareness. And he had some big plays. Now it's up. I mean, Cecil had a couple of big plays against Dallas his first of the year. So I think the onus is really on Cecil. And that's one of the subplots for these last six games. Does he do enough to show the Jaguars that they want to keep him?
And if they do, do you suspect it's a kind of a short term once again, make it through next year unscathed and we'll see where we stand?
I'm guessing it'd be constructed like that, but behind the mask of a 3-year deal.
Okay. Yeah. But a 3-year deal then, or let's say it's a 2 or 3 year deal, will that be a 2 or 3 year team friendly deal, or would that be like a 2 or 3 year deal where the money's going to go up? So we'll base it on if you play well, you might earn that money, and if you don't, then you're going to be cut loose.
I think it'd be a team friendly deal because I think the Jaguars have all the leverage because, you know, I don't see a lot of other teams right now that would come knocking on Cecil's door and say, hey, you deserve this.
Right.
You've made a lot of big plays. Well, he really hasn't the last couple of years.
No, but if you get a comparable offer, you never know what's going to be out there.
Well, the ball, I think ultimately the Jaguars are going to give him a fair offer, and then it's going to be up to him to decide. Does he go, let's say he has matching deals.
Right.
Jacksonville and Buffalo. Does he feel like he, you know, does he want to stay here where he has carved out a niche in town? In the locker room where he's a leader, or does he want to start over somewhere else? My guess is he would lean to staying here.
I would, in that scenario, yes. Yeah. It would depend on the franchise. I think
the Cleveland thing would be interesting if the Browns express interest.
True, right? Being from there, and theoretically, you could be lining up opposite Josh Gordon next year, you know, if he gets himself straightened out here in the next few weeks.
And I'll throw, I mean, just totally speculation here, but, where is the... New England is the team that always brings in a veteran receiver at a somewhat bargain price. Maybe they see a guy like him saying, hey, if we put him in a complimentary role, he'll be able to help our team. You know, other good teams that need a second or 2B or a 3A receiver.
Right.
So that's also what he has to weigh. You know, he's going to be, what is he, 25 right now? So. He has a lot of things away because this won't be his last contract.
Right, but usually guys at this stage are chasing the money, right? Let's be honest. I mean, that's the number one criteria. And I think it's always a criteria, but as you go on in your career, if you haven't had the winning success, you look for that, not necessarily in your second contract, but maybe in your third.
Yeah, but I think that's where this year has hurt him is let's say he did this year have the 75 catch, 8 touchdown year, then he would have been faced with that choice.
Right.
Is do I go to Tampa Bay for 4 years and $25 million, or do I go to a good team for 2 years and $10 million? You know, he probably would, he'll take the money deal, then circle back and go to maybe if a winner wants him. So I don't think that choice is going to be on the table for him, but all it takes is one team to make it a tough decision.
641-1010 if you want to get on board. Foundation Professionals of Florida giving you a chance to win tickets to a future Jag game by participating in a photo contest on the Facebook page, facebook.com/JaguarsToday. This latest contest, the theme is Jaguars Passion, whatever that means to you. Post a photo in the thread, which is pinned to the top of the Facebook page, and you'll go in a drawing for a pair of tickets to a later home game coming up this season, courtesy of Foundation Professionals of Florida, taking care of your most important investment, your home. If you have issues with your foundation, call the professionals at Foundation Professionals of Florida. They are licensed and insured, and they'll work with your insurance company. Financing is available. Call 287-2690 or visit foundationprosfl.com. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony, back with more Jaguars Today in a moment on 1010XL 92.5 FM. See, I knew it. I called that one, right?
5 weeks.
Too easy.
You did call it. I did not know you knew NSYNC that well.
Oh, is that NSYNC?
It is.
It was coin flip between them and the Backstreet Boys. Could have gone either way for me. I really don't know. I've heard the song. What? What are you looking at me for?
I just the song brings back certain memories
for me. Oh, yeah, because you used to do the routine, right?
I did it to impress some girls at a camp one time.
Let's see a little bit of it right now.
And
come on!
Get that arm in the air, Tony.
There's no webcam in here.
And it worked. I'll tell you that. It worked.
Did it
the
work?
The ladies loved it.
The next year at the same camp,
we did Backstreet Boys, Larger Than Life.
Did that one work?
Yeah, that one worked, too.
All right.
It was the 90s, you know? The ladies all loved the boy bands. It was the in thing at the time. I didn't particularly listen to any NSYNC or Backstreet Boys, but I learned those two dances to impress girls.
Sure, you didn't.
Both times it worked.
Year three, Tony did.
Everybody kind of knew the songs.
Of course.
At that time, when you were my age, you kind of knew.
Oh, yeah, you probably heard them incessantly on the radio,
sure.
Right?
Sure. Like, I could have sung along to that song right there. I chose not to.
Right.
Because I don't want Jacksonville to think less of me, but,
Why would they think less of you, man? We want to see this dance, routine in action.
No.
Next time you're at the station, we're gonna make Spencer film it and put it online on YouTube.
Yeah. Year three, did you do, Gift in a Box? Was that the?
No.
That was not the boy band song you chose?
That came around a little bit after the camp day.
I wasn't sure of the timing, how that whole thing worked out for you there. Alright, 641-1010, O'Halloran, what's the, dumbest thing you've ever done to impress a girl? Ha! Come on, what you got?
I can't remember.
Can't remember.
I'm passing on that one.
He's passing on that one. I don't know. If I could think of a good one, I'd tell you. I'm sure I've done some dumb stuff. I met my wife at a psychology club meeting where I was dressed in a toga. A sumu, like a giant diaper, like a sheet made into a giant diaper to do a sumu skit. We're doing a skit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was like a skit we did, you know, the old crazy college skit days.
The old psychology sumo skit.
Yes, you know that one.
That whole racket.
And then 20-something years later, here we are, happily married.
How about that?
As far as I know. About 25 years ago that occurred. So,
did you keep the diaper?
I did. It was just a random sheet. Okay. You know, and I did have some drawers on underneath it, just for the record. But I, you know, whatever, would have gone to whatever lengths. I mean, it was psychology club, Tony. I mean, I was cutting edge back in the late '80s at Flagler College.
Sure,
kidding me? All right, let's go to the phone. 641-1010. Jack, you're up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning.
Oh, fascinating discussion, guys. I couldn't help but, you know, think about it. And forgive me if y'all talked about this recently, but after watching that big, strong wide receiver from Oklahoma State run wild the other day, I wondered about our big, strong wide receiver. We're more than halfway through the year. Is there anything, I mean, it's almost like witness protection or something. Do we have any idea of what his status is for next year, Mr. Blackman? I just can only imagine him fitting in with the young group that we have now, which is, I'm a season ticket holder. I'm excited about Hearns and Robinson, and I know Lee's going to get better. And you know, I'm excited about those three young guys especially. But if we could add somebody like Blackman that we already have, and I guess there's a reason we're holding on to him. And I know, Ryan, you're right there on the button of all that knowledge.
You're right there on the cutting edge of this. All right, thank you, Jack. Appreciate it.
We didn't plant that call.
I'm not aware of Ryan's opinion on this one. What do you think? What can you tell Jack?
Well, Des Bryant's 10 times better, but he's been suspended for a year and a week or two, so it'll be 54 weeks. I was told that usually you were eligible to apply after a year, but because of the marijuana arrest, they probably added some time to that. So Jack hits the nail on the head of witness protection, because the league doesn't even tell the team about the schedule for that. So there, you know.
But the best guess is there was some time tacked on, and let's assume maybe another half season,
Let's say there's another 6 months.
Well, he might be eligible to reapply or apply for reinstatement sometime in the off season.
That would be fair to say.
Okay.
Then it's I would be surprised if he's eligible to play in 2015, regardless of where it is.
How come?
I mean, look at
you. Just think they deny his.
They could deny it because the precedence of guys who have had those strikes, it's usually they've sat out two seasons. So,
when you add it all up, and I understand you've got the additional arrest this off season, but when you add it all up, it'll have been a season and a half,
mm-hmm.
right? So, I mean, you're bordering on that same kind of range.
Yeah, it's I haven't done.
Because he missed four games and he played four, so would have missed the last half of last year and all of this season.
The clock starts with the eight.
Correct.
The interesting thing with him would be cases in which a guy has been suspended indefinitely in season. Do they count that as a full season, or do they count that as, you know,
a partial season
where, okay, you know, it's eight games, but we want you to sit out full years. So I don't know what the history of guys like him are being eligible, being told that, okay, you're reinstated, but not until week eight of a season. That's our gray area there. And if you are, let's say hypothetically they tell him, in July of 2015, okay, you're reinstated, but you can't play until week nine. Okay, can he participate in camp? Can he play in preseason games? And then does he have to go away for 2 months? So there's all this other stuff.
A lot of unknowns, yeah. Basically, on that, as far as that goes. But he is, as Jack pointed out, still technically a member of the organization. And last we heard, I would imagine still in the midst of a 90-day rehab, right? If I have my time frame clear in my own head.
Sure.
So, Jack, now, all that was a very reasoned response, I think, to the timeline issues we're laying out.
You have a pro, Jack.
As to whether or not he will help this team ever in the future, that's probably a discussion best left for another day at this point as we move on to Wolverine Bill. Hi, Bill. How are you this morning?
Good, Mike. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Not too much. I have three quick things. First of all, I'll throw out a name. Santonio Holmes. Why is he not a Jaguar?
He's not very good.
Not very good. He's got to be better than anything we have now, isn't he?
Does he? Why? Why do you say that? Just because he's formerly been good?
Especially with Allen Robinson now out for the season?
He was with Chicago.
Why would Chicago cut him loose?
Well, I read an article online. It said they needed the roster spot. They brought in Holmes to back up their key wide receiver, can't remember his name right now, that was out for the out from training camp. He's coming back this week, so they moved Holmes out. I'm not saying he's a superstar or anything, but he's got to be at least.
Here's the thing, though. Even if he's not a superstar, right, and he's a guy who's been known as a problem personality-wise pretty much everywhere he's gone, and he's not going to be part of your future. I mean, to me, the final six games with a 1-9 team is not let's pick up a veteran wide receiver who may catch a couple of passes for us here because it's going to help us in the next six games.
If this was week two,
different story, maybe. But I still don't think it would be a different story when it comes to particularly Santonio Holmes.
Correct. It would be if you're in week two and you had a string of injuries like this, then you go, okay, is there a veteran guy who can, you know, be a band-aid?
Right. Marquise Goodwin's the guy he's thinking of, by the way, coming back to the Bears. They're very high, very young wide receiver who would be kind of the third guy behind Marshall and Jeffrey there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, look, we've heard these various names over the years. Why haven't they gone after Ocho Cinco? Why haven't they gone after these guys? I think for the most part, these guys are well past their effective date.
Of effectiveness. I had to cut off your sentence.
That's
there.
Right.
Is on a guy like Holmes, let's say his franchise gets to a point where they're 6-3. And they have like three injuries in 1 week, and one of the coaches has a connection to a veteran guy. That would be how a guy like him ends up here.
Right.
But they're not 6-3, and I don't think there is a connection to him.
You're certainly not going to go out there and bring in a guy with marginal at best talent left that has been a locker room issue, and bring him into a young organization that's struggling to win. I mean, I just don't see it whatsoever.
Yeah, I appreciate the opinion. I don't think it's a good fit for this team right,
right
now.
Right, right. And look, does that mean they shouldn't be trying to win these games? No, I'm not saying that. But it should be more to me. I mean, if you can find some guys that can, A, help you upgrade the roster right now, because they're constantly churning. As we saw this week, they let a couple guys go. They bring in some others. But one eye has to be on beyond these next six games. Could we see, if they play well enough, bringing him back at least to compete for a spot in 2015? I don't see a guy like Santonio Holmes being in that picture at all. So what's the point? What do you think the approach is now, these final six games? I know Gus, I think they want, Gus made it pretty clear with his comments early in the week. They're not where they thought they would be, you know, record-wise. And this race to maturity needs to speed up. I think he probably feels the pressure to win some more games. I don't think that, I don't mean job pressure. I don't think,
sure,
you know, he's not in danger of losing his job, but he doesn't want to be 1-9. I'm sure he didn't think he would be 1-9. At least I would expect he didn't think that. I don't think the organization felt they'd be in this position. What do you think the approach is over these final six games, and can they have some success?
The approach should be, I would say, play everybody that's young, but they're already doing that. If they can get, I mean, I think they should put every resource into winning two games over the last
six. Right,
if
they could win two of the last six, it would leave you with a better feel.
I mean, it would be a step back record-wise, but you look at the teams they beat last year, the big Cleveland team right now is better than any of the teams they beat last year. So, okay, can you win some more games down the stretch? I mean, as far as personnel, you know, you're going to get a good, you're going to get a look at Marquise Lee now. You know, do you take a better look at a guy like Avery Jones? Does he play more snaps? Does Ryan Davis play more snaps without replacing people in the starting lineup? You know, a guy like Kari Fort, the linebacker they've brought in, I think they're going to give him a shot at Otto. I think that had to do with the Watson release. So you're trying to win the game. You're still playing your veterans, but you're also giving these younger guys a little bit more of a piece of the action. And I think if you win, let's say you win two of the next four, then I think these last 2 weeks of the year, that's when you really, really push those young guys.
Do you think then it's more likely you see JT Thomas in the middle, Kari Fort at Otto, as opposed to Jeremiah George in the middle and Thomas at Otto?
I think it would probably be George in middle, because I think they want to give him a fair shot. I mean, the NFL's not fair, but he got hurt on the opening kickoff.
Right.
Lasted 10 plays. I think they like Thomas better at the Otto. But I think JT will still be a three down guy and Jeremiah George a two down guy. So there's some moving parts there. As far as Gus goes, I think the pressure from his respect is, if let's say they go 1-15, I don't think he's under any pressure to lose his job. But I think if you're 1-15, I think you have to make some changes to your staff. Either they're cosmetic or major, because that is unacceptable in a second year of a program.
I think 1-15, we talked about next year, you know, at what point do you feel the heat of a bad start? I think at 1-15, at 1-15, that heat gets turned up a lot quicker than it does if you were able to win three of your last six and finish 4-12, albeit for the second consecutive year. You can sell that you're on the upswing and that you played all these young guys, and maybe that buffer is a little bit wider.
And I think an important part on Gus's thing is if you end up going 4-12 and splitting these last six, is it validates you sticking your neck out for bringing some of these guys in. Clemens, Bryant, you know, that, hey, I vouch for those guys coming in, and they helped you guys become a better defense. If you go 1-15, everything's off the table.
All right, Tom Bush Family Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight coming up next. Other than simply winning against Cleveland, what was your high point? What was your favorite moment of the first 10 games of the season? We'll take a look at some of those responses coming up. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran from the Florida Times Union, Fat Tony here with you. It's Jaguars Today, live from Everbank Field on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Yesterday, I was up before the dawn.
Bye, goodbye, stranger, Supertramp. Hope it's a goodbye for the Jags in the sense that they come back tan, rested, and ready, refreshed. Get some W's coming out of the bye. What are you smiling at over there?
Every time I hear this song now, I think of The Office and Michael Scott singing, "Goodbye, Toby. It's been nice."
I don't think I saw it.
Oh, it's good stuff.
Was that a finale? Did that wrap
up
the
series? No, it was just Toby was leaving. And Michael, you know, always hated Toby. And so they had a whole, like, parade circus outside. and he sang this song, Goodbye Toby.
I could see that.
Yeah, it was,
I could see that.
It was fantastic.
It's a pretty good show right there. All right, Fan Feedback Spotlight today brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, asking Jaguar fans, what drives you? Asking you today, other than obviously winning against Cleveland, what was the highlight of the first 10 games of the season? What was the big moment for you, your favorite memory from those 10 games? That's what we call a mini throwback Thursday, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
We're throwing back only to September here. What do you got?
From Bill, when Blake trotted onto the field to start the second half of the Colts game. From at Irish Jaguar, Denard becoming a bona fide NFL running back. From Eric, the energy at the stadium when Blake came into the Colts game was something I won't forget. From Mr. Jagman, fact that us fans were showing up supporting the team, but we need a win to continue that support. From Brian, Coach Gus in the pile and singling Jags ball on Cleveland muff punt. Hashtag
that,
happy
that
days.
That was great. I mean, that was, you know, emblematic of the victory, but yep, it wasn't done yet. That was a great moment.
Between that one and in the same game, Jed Fish, when they punched it in to go ahead.
Yeah, he
finally
fist pumping.
That fist pump, yeah, that was pretty cool. And from Duval Doom, Blake's spin move to evade the rush and the ensuing wink at the sideline after he ran. Hashtag swag.
Not bad. Douglas Pelsey, watching Blake's first 300-yard game in person as the Jags came within a block kick of overcoming a 9-point deficit in 2 minutes in Tennessee. Hashtag so very, very close. Alan Munger, look at it this way. Getting Firehouse subs 3 times this year, okay? Think about that. They've only had 3 games in which they've kicked a 40-yard field goal or longer.
Right.
They've been in range to do it. I know the offense hasn't been prolific, but man, that just, you know, if anything, you would have thought, well, Scobie is having a big year because they're stalling in the red zone, something like that. You know, just another aspect of areas that have broken down this year at times.
Yeah, I mean, and you look at the, before I get to that, I think the defining moment of that win was the fumbled punt against Cleveland. It allowed them to punch it in and sort of get some distance there. You look at the special teams the last couple weeks, there's been different breakdowns each week. I think that's something that has to, you know, I don't know, you address it with punt returns. Every time when you need an anger punt, you're not getting it. You know, end of the first half, 38-yarder. Then he booms one for a touchback when he should have easily tried to down it inside the 10. So inconsistencies there. They changed out 2 of the blockers on punt coverage. Gerhardt and Harbor replaced Loston and Telvin last week, and then they had the block kick issue. So a lot of issues on special teams this year.
Also, from Josh, Bortles being the obvious choice, but finally a 100-yard game in rushing from D-Rob, hashtag bright future, hashtag mojo who? I think that's what they're saying in the Bay Area right now as well, man. And then from Don, Blake Bortles walking on the field to replace Henny was the most exciting Jag moment since Gerhardt's playoff run against Pittsburgh. Every interception since has dampened my enthusiasm, although he did tag it, hashtag future greatness. So, look, it has been, I think Blake, as we talked about early in the week, kind of came in, played on instinct, and you know what I mean? Just let it rip.
Playgrounded a little bit.
And that was fine. Yeah. You know, you wouldn't expect much else in that, those kind of early moments in his career, but had that flash and flurry of success, and I think this is more realistic look of what, you know, why, for instance, they wanted to take a guy from UCF and let him sit for a year and kind of ease him in gradually. Ultimately, you hope that the playing and getting some of this gets it out of the system, so to speak, and that when he sees it for real next year, it'll be that much slower, but having gone through it.
I was talking to a couple people last week out there. You run, like you said, because of the location you're at, you run into a lot of people, and we're talking about Bortles, and one of them said, you know, before the season, a lot of people in the organization thought the London game would be the first for his first start.
Right.
So that shows you what the timetable they thought it was and what it ended up being. So, you know, those 6.5 games before Dallas, I mean, hopefully for the Jaguars' sake, that'll help him produce later in the season. But, you know, that's, it just gives you an example of how much they pushed it up.
Which, by the way, would make, I would think, the typical Jaguar season ticket holder. I'm a season ticket holder. I don't consider myself one of the typical season ticket holders simply because, you know, I'm in a different position, right? If his start was in London, his first start, are you kidding me? How would that make you feel as a season ticket holder that is supporting him through all the down times here. And I get it. Like, if it came because of injury, something like that, and he had no choice, but, I mean, what kind of PR move would that be?
Well, it's not like they would have announced it 2 weeks before. I mean, it would have been something. You know, it would have been a move that was figured out on the plane ride. You know, so hey, I think a lot of fans would have said, well, you know, I wish he would have played here, but you know, at least he's playing.
Right. I think a lot of fans would have been very upset with that.
His first start was in San Diego, or did they get enough of a taste of it against Indy?
I think the fact that he debuted and coming out of halftime, I think that was a big moment for Jaguar fans. Look, this has not been a season where they're selling hope, right? That's what they sold all off season. Hope for the future. And when you're 1-9, and you watch the season play out, you're like, well, you know, hope is great, but where is the tangible backing
stuff
to that, right? Right. So, you know, having that moment at home, I think, was big for these fans. And you saw a lot of them today, so that was the highlight of their season to this point, other than winning a game against the Cleveland Browns. So, look, it didn't work out that way. But had it, I think there would have been a lot of righteously furious season ticket holders. Not all of them, but I think there would have been a good number of them pretty upset with it. What do you do? What are you covering this week?
That would be nothing. You know, I always remember, speaking of the suspended receiver, that was Friday, 5 o'clock, during a bye week. So that wiped out those couple off days. But you know, what you hope is you just keep your fingers crossed that you're going to have Friday, Saturday, Sunday off. That's all you hope for.
That nothing pops up.
Nothing pops up. I'm just going to stay in town. When I was in Washington, sometimes I'd leave town for a quick weekend, but now I just stay put, especially after this past trip. There's no reason to go anywhere else.
You've had a long enough trip for a while now. Yeah. And then coming out, Indy. They've got Indy, Houston.
Indy Giants.
I'm sorry, Indy Giants on the road with Baltimore. Houston at home, Tennessee. No. Houston, I'm all messed up.
Indy, Giants at Houston yesterday. At home, at Baltimore, home, Tennessee, at Houston.
All right, how many do they win the final 6 weeks?
One.
Tennessee at home?
Houston at home.
All right, we'll see. Mettenberger is going to beat the Jags.
Well, judging by these guys, they'll beat themselves. But yeah, I'll just pick the Houston game.
All right, going with one
of those. It was one of those two.
We'll talk more about it next week as they get ready to take on the Indianapolis Colts. Ryan O'Halloran, the Florida Times Union at Ryan O'Halloran on Twitter. Have a good weekend. All right,
we're done already. That's it. It's over.
That's it. That's all we've got. Did you have something you were saving for later?
No.
All right, there you go. Then it's perfect timing. For Fat Tony, for Lauren Brooks, Boys of XL Primetime coming up next. And then 2 hours from now, we'll be back with Josh Kearney with the Web.com Fantasy Forecast. Have a great Thursday. David Garrard in on Jaguars today. Tomorrow, thanks to all of our fantastic sponsors. Fan Feedback Spotlight brought to you every day by the Tom Bush family of dealerships featuring Tom Bush Volkswagen, Tom Bush Mazda, Tom Bush BMW, and Tom Bush Mini. Check out TomBush.com the next time you're in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle, and you can follow them on Twitter at TomBush Motors as well. For all the aforementioned, I'm Mike Dempsey. XL Primetime coming up next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.